I was always told that if you weren't born into it, that you would have the hope. So I just had this mentality that no matter what I did, I would have the hope because it's what I'm born into. And so that made me realize that you can do anything you want to.
I never knew the importance of work-life balance until I had my son. I wanted to create a platform to inform single mother, lady bosses, that you can do it. This podcast is all-inclusive, safe haven-based, designed for women, a woman supporter to grow in all areas of their lives. I want to talk about fashion, health and wellness, work balance, work life, entrepreneurship, gender roles, stereotyping, single motherhood, and so much more. Thank you all for listening to Evie Unbounded. And once again, I'm your loving host, Evie Jane.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning into another episode of Evie Unbounded. I just wanted to thank all my listeners for sticking with the podcast and being part of our family here. Today's guest is someone that I met recently, actually through my little brother, my annoying but dearest little brother, Cairo. Anyway, to me, this wonderful woman, and I should call her the queen. She's just such a great woman. Anyway, to me, she's a representation that Asian female are so much more than what we see on the surface. She's a four-time national ranked BJJ competitor with a 4-0 undefeated MMA record. Okay, girls, I didn't know what that means, so I'm going to let her to explain that. But I do know this. She's the first Asian American female wrestler in WWE, the first female signed to Major League Wrestling, and the first Asian American wrestler to tour Asia. So this is something I have brought to Asia now, which I'm really excited about. I wonder how the Asian view this, because, you know, growing up in the Asian family, you know, we had the stereotyping what Asian women are as being submissive, play piano, violin, something that what I do, right? So yeah. She's completely different. This is amazing. And she also competed in Mae Young Classic Tournament and WWE NXT Women Royal Rumble. So here we're gonna welcome Zelda Zhang, everyone. So Zeta, welcome to my podcast. I'm so glad the schedule worked out and I could get you on the show. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself a little and tell our listeners a little background about yourself.
Hi everyone, this is Zeta Zhang. I competed in martial arts and now I do professional wrestling. So basically I'm really into art, any type of art, martial arts, traditional art. And basically, I see my life as something that I want to be passionate about, and I want to do something that will resonate with people. So this is all I do, is everything art related, to try and maybe inspire someone out there to pursue their dreams.
But seriously, how you thought about doing that? I mean, especially as an Asian, growing up in an Asian family, is that the TV show you watch? I mean, how you even like get your head like, this is what I wanted to do?
You know, it actually kind of happened by accident. You know, I've always been interested in martial arts. I grew up watching like Jackie Chan and like Wong Fei Hung and like different like martial artists in movies. And I played a lot of like video games. So it's funny you said Zelda, because that was actually kind of an inspiration also to my name.
Oh! But see, I know it. Yeah. That's what it was like
Zelda, Zayna. It was kind of like the
mix. And there was, don't get mad at me. Another one. If you ever see her on TV, I actually look at her video and been watching her wrestling. Her outfit, she looks so damn sexy in it. Especially she had this outfit look like Don't get mad at me. I used to play Street Fighter.
And yeah.
The character I play is Chun-Li, and then she dressed like Chun-Li. So
I love Chun-Li.
Okay. So don't get mad at me. Go on.
But yeah, I've always been interested in martial arts, but growing up in a very traditional Asian family, my parents, they weren't about it. They wanted me to learn piano, be a lawyer, be a doctor. Unfortunately, my grades weren't that great. I tried, but it's not that great. I learned English really late, so it kind of set me back. But I've always just been interested in art and martial arts, but I was too self-conscious and had no self-esteem to go into martial arts. So I just kind of never did until...
Wait. Why would you not have self-esteem in martial art? Like, what were you thinking in your head?
Well, first, I was born in Virginia. And over there, it's very different than out here in California. It's like, it's not very diverse. I'm one of the few Asians growing up there. And I got bullied a lot for my race and for a lot of different other things. So because of that, it just kind of made me unconfident. And I was always very self-conscious and insecure about myself. So I just never believed I could do anything like that. I just thought that, oh, I suck at this. There's no way I can do it. The only thing that I felt like I was good at was art, like just drawing art and music. But everything else, I really had to work at. So I felt like if it didn't come natural for me, that I just sucked at it and there was nothing I could do about it. So I didn't believe that if you worked hard for it, that you can achieve it. At the time, I just thought if you weren't born with it, then that's your life. So I never pursued it, even though part of me always wished that I could. And it didn't happen until the first time I started gaining a little bit of confidence was when I hit the end of eighth grade. And I told myself, I'm going to try and go out for the wrestling team. But like, I was still very unconfident where even just a single no, like you get told no all the time in your life, but a single no would just shut me down and be like, nope, this isn't for me. So I went to a boarding school at the time, and it was like a military school, and I was one of the few girls there. And when I asked to go on the wrestling team, they told me I wasn't allowed to because I was a girl. So
that doesn't work for us.
No,
definitely not y'all show either.
So I was like, okay, I guess I can't do it. And then by the time I went to high school, I was so busy trying to get in college, I was just focused on school. So finally I get to college. And my first year there, I came across a really unsafe situation where it scared me so much, where it ended up making me get into martial arts. It was like the straw that broke the camel's back, because I went there really naive. I went there naive thinking, oh, nothing's going to happen to me. Why would they like target me out of all the people in the city? Cause I moved over to Richmond, Virginia, which is like a bigger city than where I was born. And so I'm thinking there's all these people, they wouldn't target me. And next thing you know, my first year there for Halloween, this was back before like GPS units. So I'm on the phone calling my friend to try and go to this Halloween party. And she didn't really know the direction. She was like, okay, I'm like close by though. She was like, take left. I'm like, take a left or right? And she was like, I'm not sure. Stay there. I'm going to get my friend to come get you. Then all of a sudden, this guy pulls up and he waves his hand out the sunroof window for me to follow him. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, this must be the guy. And I didn't say anything about a party. I just said to him like, hey, did we just talk on the phone? And he was like, yeah, the party's over here. So I thought that was the guy. And so I followed him. And then I realized there was another car behind me with four guys in the back. And they led me down some dark alley. They trapped me between their two cars. And then the guy in the front got out of the car and like stood 3 feet away from me. And I was stupid. I had my window rolled down, my door slightly opened. And I'm just like, so this is where the party's at? And he was like, yeah, it's where the party's at. And he's just like lying to me. I called my friend and I was like, hey, I'm in the back. Where are you? I don't see you. I'm flashing my lights. And she says she doesn't see me. And then after a while, I started getting this weird feeling like, why is she not seeing me? And then I kept asking a guy, this is where the party's at. And he kept lying to me, saying that's where it is. And I remember looking at my rearview mirror and I see the four dudes in the back with all their lights off, like slouch, just like watching. It was like,
you might be so scared.
Yeah, it was scary. But at the time, I couldn't believe what was going on. Like, it seemed like a movie. It didn't seem real. So it would never register in my mind. Like, it was like I was in denial. I was like, this isn't happening. This is not going on right now. So I didn't register it yet. And so I just kept like asking him where the party was at. But then when my friend overheard his voice on the phone, she goes, "Who's that?" And when she said, "Who's that?" it like clicked. Everything clicked. And I realized that I was in trouble. And I remember earlier, I had a sick feeling in my stomach, but I just like suppressed it because of the denial. But when I realized this was really what was going on and I'm stuck in this situation with no way out, I started freaking out and I was just like cussing, like, what the F? This is not where the party's at. Is this not the guy that you told that was gonna come get me? And of course the guy heard, he's like right there. And he goes, what, you don't believe me? You don't believe me? If you don't believe me, go back where you came from. And I was so lucky because literally this alleyway was long and narrow. It only fit one car.
Oh, and my gosh.
I was stuck between the two cars. He could easily like drag me out. My door was open. My window was rolled down. There's four other dudes just like waiting on him to do something. I could have been dragged out and raped and killed. But I was so lucky that night because the building, like I said, it was like a very narrow alleyway. But the building that I was parked next to ended up being shorter than the other two buildings. So it kind of went like this. So it gave me a chance to like do this and do a C turn out.
Oh my God, you were lucky.
I was so lucky. Literally out of pure luck. I was lucky the guy behind me, the car behind me was parked enough back for me to like back up and do this. I just like shut my door and left. And after that, it scared me so much that, because during that time, there was all these gang rapes going on. I'm pretty sure.
What year was that?
This was 2007.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, 2007, Richmond, Virginia. It was ranked like top three most unsafe city to live in the US. And it was rated number one murder city for 4 years in a row back in the late 90s, early 2000s. So by the time it was 2007, it was like still top three, top four, which is really bad still, considering it's such a, there's a lot of people in the city, but the city itself is small. So it's all crammed together. So everything that happens literally is like one street over from you. There'd be like a stabbing here, a shooting there, a rape here. It would happen every single week, multiple times a week. And so during that time, there was gang rapes going on and in that area too. So I'm pretty sure it was those dudes. And 2 weeks later in that same area, and it seemed like it was those guys that they identified. This girl I went to college with got gang raped. She's lucky she didn't die, but she did get gang raped in that area, the same area I was at.
That incident is your transformation or give you the ideas like, I need to do something about it?
Yes.
Okay.
I finally was like, I need to do something. And so I decided to join a martial arts gym. But I didn't know which one to join at the time. So at the time, I had a boyfriend and he was interested in jiu-jitsu. And so we joined it together. But I was still really unconfident and I would never go unless he went with me. And he lived in my hometown, which was like 2.5 hours away at Charlottesville, Virginia. And actually, well, somewhere outside of that. But anyways, he was like 2.5 hours away. So out of the 2 months, we only went twice. And I never like really went because I was too scared to. It wasn't until he broke up with me that I was like, I'm going to beat him up when I see him. So I trained really hard and was in the gym all the time.
Okay, women, lady, girl, lady bosses out there. Have you noticed everyone that I interview, when they're going to something at that moment, you were like, crap, this sucks. It all turned out to be better. There's always a story and purpose behind it. I swear. It seemed that way. It's every woman I've interviewed so far is consistent with that. Anyway, so go on.
It's true. It's true. It really is. You need something horrible for you to mold into a new you. So, I mean, I guess it could go either way, but it's a matter of how you look at it. So you can either go and be really depressed from it and become bitter, or you can do something about it.
And you choose the better way.
Yes, because that's all you can do, because I don't want to be depressed and like doing whatever. So I ended up training a lot, and I ended up getting the attention of my coaches. And so they convinced me to do a tournament. And when I went and did my first jiu-jitsu tournament and won that tournament, my whole mentality changed. My life changed after that. Because, I mean, if it wasn't for the scary event that happened that pushed me to get into that, I wouldn't have gone and done that jiu-jitsu tournament. And I mean, I'm thankful my boyfriend broke up with me. So like at the time, it caused me to like be more motivated.
Don't ever feel sad when someone leaves. It was not meant to be for yours. Just better out there. Thank you. Thank them for letting you go. Trust me on this one, ladies.
It's so true. Because that motivated me to just like go train really hard. And when I won that tournament, it made me change my mentality, because I was told my whole life, because I've always had dreams of going into entertainment, but I was always told that if you weren't born into it, that you would have no hope. So I just had this mentality that no matter what I did, I would have no hope because it's what I'm born into. And so that made me realize that you can do anything you put your mind to. And as cliche as that sounds, I truly believe in that, because I never did sports growing up. I did zero sports.
And have you guys seen her? Go look at her social handle. Okay, tell everybody what's your social handle.
I usually use Instagram. It's Zeta, Z-E-D-A underscore Z-H-A-N-G. Zeta underscore Z-H-A-N-G.
Okay, she's hot. She does not what you imagine. Like, I don't know. I you know what? I don't even know what you imagine, because there's no stereotype, right? Because now doing anything, everything is possible. But I'm just saying, she's actually a pretty, she's hot and sexy. Like, you would not, at least for me, I would say myself, I was that whistler gonna be like super tough, like buff and stuff. She's nothing like that. She's hot. Okay, go on.
I'm so blushing out.
So blushing. I'm only telling the truth. So anyway, follow her on her social media so you would know what I mean. Go on.
Yeah, so that like changed my whole perspective. And because of that, that huge shift in my mentality, it's allowed me to pursue my dreams. It's allowed me to keep working towards what I want to, because now I know that hard work actually pays off.
Yeah. I mean, again, you know, like I said, we've been interviewing a lot of amazing women out there. And the purpose of the show is to empower other women. And, you know, we all been through breakup. We all went to, thing happened, right? This is called life. But how you choose what you're going to do, what you'll experience, that's up to you. So you have the power for that. And as you were saying earlier, you can either be depressed or do something about it. And then now, you know, everybody, whatever that boy who broke up with you, you know, you should say thank you so much for letting me, for like lead you to this complete different career that you love, right? Yes. So wait, so what's your parent think about it when you tell them that's what you wanted to do?
Oh gosh. Okay. So when I first started doing martial arts, I kept a secret from them because they would be so mad. So I just told them like, oh yeah, I'm just learning some self-defense. And I remember they would call me and tell me, okay, don't go to the gym too much. You need to focus on your studies. And I was just like, okay. But I was like constantly sneaking off to the gym to train and stuff. And then I had my first jiu-jitsu tournament and my first MMA fight. And I never even told them about it. I had won my jiu-jitsu tournament. I didn't even tell them. Then I won my first MMA fight. And then afterwards, like, I think it was like a couple weeks later, I finally told my mom. And I remember she literally was just like, okay, I'm really busy, I gotta go. And just like hung up on me. And I was like,
what? Okay, so for either people like me who doesn't watch any sport, can you explain to them how hard, well, okay, first of all, what is MMA and how you get even involved? What is the competition like? So, you know, people like me can understand.
Well, jiu-jitsu is a sport that is basically all based on leverage. It is called the gentle art. It was created in Japan and it's made for someone who is smaller to overpower someone bigger because it's all based on leverage. It's a very smart, technical type of martial arts, which is why I love it so much. They compare it to chess. It's not brute. It's literally for self-defense. And so I fell into jiu-jitsu because I really see it as an art form, because with all the art that I do, martial arts was actually the furthest away from art that I saw it as. But it wasn't until I started doing jiu-jitsu when I was like, okay, I really see this as an art.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's literally very beautiful. It's very tough to get a black belt in jiu-jitsu because there's literally so much to learn. It takes the longest to get a black belt in that discipline. And the average is 12 to 13 years of really consistent training.
And so when you go on MMA, do they require a certain kind of martial art? Yes. Or how you compete?
Yeah, so MMA stands for mixed martial arts.
Got it.
And mixed martial arts, after years and years of like testing out different martial arts, because how MMA came about was when UFC, the Ultimate Fighting Championship, came about. And they did this thing where they would have people of different martial arts backgrounds like match up with each other and fight to see which one is the best. And after years of doing it, they realized the best martial arts for a street fight would be jiu-jitsu, wrestling, boxing, and Muay Thai, like the mix of these. Of course, there's other martial arts that works in it, but they just feel that these four are a good blend when it comes to a street fight.
So who was your competitor in your first win? And then what was your thought process at that time?
Oh my gosh. My first fight was the most stressful roller coaster ever. Because
see, everybody, when you do something for the first time, it's very normal to feel nervous and stressed, right?
Okay. Super, super stressful. Like I was crying. It was the worst. So it was honestly one of the hardest experiences I've ever had to go through in my whole life, like one of the hardest. So I remember my background's jiu-jitsu, and the first gym that I was at ended up being kind of like a McDojo. So like they teach you just enough to like be okay as a white belt, but then you can't advance and get any better. And it's kind of like a scam gym, and they kept me on this contract for like 2 years and
lied. Oh my gosh.
So I ended up leaving that gym. And
after 2 years.
Well, luckily before that, when I was training a lot, I ended up getting the attention of like other coaches. And so one of the coaches took me under his wing.
Smart.
Like for free. So I trained under him for free while I was contracting this other gym. And then eventually when my contract came up, I left and went to a gym he taught at. So that gym that he taught at was actually an MMA gym. So they had different types of disciplines, but he was teaching the jiu-jitsu side. And at the time, I actually hated MMA originally, because there is a stereotype in MMA that it's like brute and it's like meatheads and like people that just want to beat people up.
That's what I thought. I'm sorry.
It is. It is. Yes, there's still those people, unfortunately, which give MMA a bad name. And I didn't like it for that, because my point wasn't to go beat people up. My point was to protect myself. Mm-hmm. And so when I thought of those people, I'm like, oh, those people seem like douchebags. But luckily, because I met that jiu-jitsu coach, he actually fought MMA and he did jiu-jitsu. So it made me change my mind. I was like, okay, maybe not everyone in MMA is a douche.
Open mind, another thing to learn.
Exactly. So I ended up realizing, okay, I should be more open-minded about it. And so I went over to that gym, but I wasn't interested in doing all the other stuff. I just kind of did it for workout purposes, for to lose weight. And since I was paying for it, I'm like, I might as well get my money's worth. Uh-huh. So I work out there all day. And then the owner of the gym, who was also the MMA coach, he came up to me and was like, oh yeah, you should fight. And I was like, no, I'm just interested in jiu-jitsu. I don't want to do MMA. And he would bother me every single day and be like, you should fight. for like a month and a half, he bothered me every single day.
If just a sign keeping showing up and someone's keeping calling you, there must be a reason. Go find out.
Exactly. So I end up like, one day I remember just being really annoyed. I was like, I'm just going to tell him I'll think about it just so he would shut up for a while. And so I'm like, yeah, I'll think about it. And then the next day, my coach shows up and he goes, oh yeah, so there's a fight coming up in 3 weeks. Mind you, 3 weeks is no time to prepare for a fight, especially your first fight. And on top of that, he was making me fight up a weight class.
Wow. Like,
technically, he was making me fight up two weight classes because I was really tiny back then. I walked around at like 115 pounds. And the weight class was 115 and the other one was 105. I really should have cut down to 105.
Yeah.
So 115 was even too big for me. So he wanted me to fight at 125 because there was no girls at the time that would be able to fight.
Okay, you guys need to check her out because she is tiny. So I don't know how she's going to do that.
So like the thing that was like, he was like, oh, no pressure. Just train really hard for 2 weeks. If you're not feeling up to it, you can back out anytime. That's what he told me. And then, so a week and a half into it, I'm training really hard and I'm thinking to myself, oh no, I don't want to do this. And so I went up to my coach. I'm like, hey, can I talk to you? And he was like, oh yeah, I need to talk to you too. So they did an article on you in the newspaper and magazines for your fight coming up.
Oh no.
I was like, are you serious? He literally pressured me into it. And so I'm just like, well, crap, now I can't back out.
Right.
So...
So it's your calling.
Yeah. So it's like, oh my gosh, I'm going to take this fight. So next thing you know, and the thing is, I didn't know anything about nutrition at the time. I didn't know how to like cut weight properly. I didn't know how to gain muscle properly. I didn't even know how to eat properly. And so I'm thinking I have to fight up a weight class. So I'm eating a ton. I'm eating so much to gain weight.
What were you eating?
I was eating a lot of protein. I was eating healthy, but I was eating too much.
Oh my God. I would love that part of the training because you mean I can eat all the ice cream, all the fried food? Yes. Send me there.
I ate so much stuff, but the thing is you can't gain muscle within 3 weeks. There's just no way. And so I just gained fat. I just got fat. So within 2 weeks, I went from 115, all the, like 115 to 118. That's why I float around at all the way up to 133.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I jumped up so much.
Only if we can get in shape just like that, huh? That easy. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, I'm going to gain muscle, but I did not. I just got fat. And then I was trying to cut it back down and it was really hard to cut down. Because I gain weight very easily. That's like my natural body type. I gain weight easy. It's hard for me to lose weight. But once I gain it, it's hard to lose it back. So
just let you know, many of us can relate to that. Me,
it's horrible. I hate it. And so like, here I am at like 133. I have to cut down to 125.
But it's so interesting, your journey from that to, and then how you even get to WWE to be the first Asian American woman sign up with that. You know what I mean? Oh, by the way, you should thanks to your coach too.
I know, I should. I know. It's a good thing he pressured me because, you know, I would have done it and stuff.
Hey, but people come to your life from many reasons. They can come in different way, different form. But on the end of the day, it helps you to get where you're supposed to be. So
exactly.
Be
That's
grateful.
True. That's true. That's
okay. Great. So tell me how you get into the WWE. So
it was through my MMA background because I've been doing it for a while. And then I went out to this really famous MMA gym in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And the thing is like,
wait, how you even end up there?
Because I got invited. I got invited by a UFC fighter. So he told me to come out there to his, the Tap Out Ranch to train. And so I went out there to do some training. And next thing you know, like, it's like, once you become friends with those people, like every single person, the whole city adds you like it, because it's a small world. It's all connected. So once you're like in this MMA world, the circle, everyone knows each other.
Find your niche.
Yes. So because of that, I had so many mutual friends with this one guy. He added me on Facebook and he never said anything to me for like 4 years. Then out of nowhere, he's actually Taiwanese, but he grew up in Canada. So he basically added me and hit me up, was like, hey, I've been watching your training. I think you'd be great for WWE. If you're interested, let me know.
Is he in WWE? Or
no, he was actually at 1FC fighting.
Okay.
Yeah, he fought for 1FC, which is Asia's biggest MMA promotion. It's basically the UFC of Asia. He fought for 1FC back in the day. Shout out to Paul Chang.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So he basically referred me over there and I went through a tryout and then I got in and then my life changed.
Yay!
Yeah.
And you're the first Asian American woman. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. So yes. How's it like to be part of it?
It's amazing. Like, it's life changing. I watched pro wrestling as a kid, but I didn't know what I was watching and I didn't really know the difference. I thought it was the same as college wrestling or Olympic wrestling, but it is, it's like a mix of wrestling with stunts and performance and acting. So it's a nice combination of everything that I enjoy doing because I've always loved entertainment and martial arts. So I really get the best of every world. So I get to mix it all together. And going into that industry, I realized like, wow, I can really appreciate everything about it because it's allowed me to do so much. It's given me a platform to help people and let people hear my story so that they could be inspired, because growing up was really tough and the stereotyping was a huge thing, was a big thing. And having to deal with that was not fun. It was not fun. So I basically lived my life trying to be the anti-stereotype. I did everything.
You mean you're not the submissive Asian girl and then cutting nail or getting massage and stuff like that?
Playing the piano and being good at math. No, I suck at all of that. So this actually allows me to go do what I love as well as challenge myself to be more outgoing, be more confident in what I want to do. And at the same time, it makes me really happy to feel like I get to do something that I enjoy doing, as well as doing something on a greater scale and helping people be inspired to achieve what they want to achieve.
Were you ever worried by going, picking this route, you would have, what's the word? Like, are you going to be stable? Are you going to have financial security? Because part of the reason why I think a lot of artists, you know, we don't follow our passion because the society or our family value put a certain kind of idea, stigma or idea that how you're going to survive. Oh, you know, as an artist, you're not going to survive. Or you're going to do this. What is that, right? If it's not fit into the society, what people think it is, a lot of time, our parents, I mean, I know it's all of love. They always have a concern for us. But you obviously choose something that is not what parent would prefer or would thought of. And then obviously you make a living out of it and you actually enjoy and passionate about it, right?
Yes.
So like, what would you think, like follow your passion? What would you say that to other young women or to other women who wanted to follow their passion and then be scared to and not knowing if that's something that would pay the bill? I mean, I hate to say it, right? It's just a reality of it.
At the end of the day, I see it as this. You can't half-ass anything. My love, Chris.
I don't believe
you're not allowed. If you're going to do something, do it 100%. Because if you don't, you're going to regret it. And that was my mentality going into it. When I finished college, I worked a regular job. I worked this desk job and I hated it. I was so depressed. And I thought to myself, like, is this what I'm going to do for the rest of my life? And I was gaining weight. I was really depressed. I was addicted to caffeine. It was like,
while she's saying that, I'm drinking my coffee. Thanks. Thank you.
I was super addicted to caffeine.
Like, I'm the lawyer. Yes. Desk job. Just kidding.
I was like really unhappy. And, you know, I do have to thank my parents also, because they eventually came around, even though we butted heads a lot growing up. I think over time, they saw how unhappy I was and they didn't want me to resent them. That's literally what my mom said. After I graduated, I was working this desk job and I was so depressed. One day my mom called me And she said, we allow you to go chase your dreams.
Oh, yeah. Did you cry? That's so touching.
Yeah, I think that I did. Like, yeah, she was like, we allow you to chase your dreams, even though it was still a transition for them. I appreciate that they said that. They said that, but action wise, they still was like, oh, you should go do real estate. You should do this just in case. I'm like, mom and dad, if you want me to chase my dreams, then I have to 100% chase it. You can't tell me, hey, go to school and learn this. Hey, go get a license for this. Because where would I have the time to chase my dreams? So either I do it 100% or I don't do it. So don't tell me to chase my dreams and then not allow me to do it and tell me to go do this and that. So I had to like kind of tell them that. And we argued for a while. And eventually they're like 100% supportive. At the time, it took them some time to transition, which I understand. It's tough because they grew up in a different culture. They grew up with a different mindset and a different time. But the thing is, I see it as happiness is very important. You could have all the money in the world. I've literally met people who are rich, but they're so unhappy with what they have. And I just want to be able to not starve to death. And if you just work at it, you won't starve to death. Like, I'm not saying I'm gonna be rich.
I would take you in anytime if you're ever you can live with me. She put it so sad, like starve to death. I'm like, oh my God.
That's literally what my parents told me. I remember I had to convince them to let me go to art school because they're like, you'll starve to death. I'm like, can I do music? Like, you'll starve to death.
How funny when we think the worst, we really think the worst, right? I think that it's very important for you to reframe like what you think the worst, because if you really think about it, seriously, are you going to really starve to death? I mean, I think anybody, even the homeless people standing on the street, somebody would give them food and then would get food stamps. So there's no way you're going to be starving to death. It was funny how, like, when people think the worst that can possibly happen, they think the worst of worst. So check your mindset all the time.
It's just so funny because I keep hearing it in Chinese. Like, my parents said, you'll starve to death. And I was like, oh God, I'll starve to death. So it was like always ingrained in my mind that I can't do this. And it's so frowned upon to like not have a roof over your head, to be homeless and not have a job or whatever.
What about relationship? Besides the fact that surviving is still like, they think so negative, like, you're going to starve to death. But are they going to think, who's going to marry my daughter? Who's like totally in the fighting world.
True. Yeah, that too. And
are you single too?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. Maybe they're right about that.
Maybe they're right. I scare all the guys away. Sorry.
She's single, by the way.
I promise I won't fight you unless you anger me.
Check out her social media. She's single. Go on.
So yeah, they have mentioned that actually. They're like, you can't be too manly. No guy's gonna want you. You have to be more feminine.
No, but seriously, that'll bring another point. Being in this field, which is I still feel like predominantly are men,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And especially as an Asian woman. And then you probably have to travel also.
All the time.
How is that affecting your dating life? I mean, who are you going to meet?
Literally no one. I have no dating life. I have zero personal life. It's sad. I'm trying to find balance, but it's tough because like I literally just got back from Florida. I was there for 2 months. And then it's like, before that, I was in Asia for a whole year. And then before that, I was in Florida. And then I was in California. And then I was in Asia. It's literally like, I'm never here. I would just start to meet someone and then I'll be gone for months at a time.
So the only thing I can say, what your parents say, starve to death, would be starve to death of love. But you know what? Don't feel bad, because a lot of professional women have the same experience as you. So
yeah, that's the thing that sucks, but it's a trade-off. You know, I feel like I'm okay with that, because at the end of the day, I don't want to rely on anyone else. So I like the feeling of being independent and feeling like I can take care of myself. I don't want to feel like if someone breaks up with me, my whole world is crashing down and financially I can't take care of myself or whatever, depressed. You know, I mean, I'll probably be a little sad, but, you know, at least like, at least I have me, you know? So I don't want to
run. It's called self-love also. Self-love. I think it's very important for women out there to always remember, right? You need to love yourself, because if you don't love yourself, who's going to love you, right?
Exactly. I truly believe that. And I don't want to feel like I need someone or whatever, you know, I want to be with someone because I choose to be with someone. I find that so much better, and vice versa. I don't want a guy to have to need me. He chose to be with me. So it's like, if someone is going to, like, if I'm going to date someone, it's going to be someone that's going to have to be very mature and very understanding of my career and willing to like wait and admire the fact that I'm working towards something that I love. It's like, at the end of the day, I feel like trust is very important, because I guess also another thing, being in this industry, this entertainment industry, it's so, I love it, but it's very hard for dating. And a lot of people in my industry is unfortunately very promiscuous. And so because of that, it's tough. I don't want to date within my industry, but it's hard for me to date outside of my industry, because people with other like jobs, they don't understand my field of work. And then they get jealous. They're wondering, why am I always around like half naked men? That's like, ooh, attractive.
Can you invite me next time?
I should, I will. I'll definitely invite you, because everyone's very good looking.
I'm single.
Hey, single. All my wrestling friends.
Oh, I'm just kidding.
But the thing is, like, I want something more than that. It's so, I'm going to be picky about it, and it's okay. I'm willing to wait. So that's why here I am. But my parents are a little bit worried. My mom literally just asked me last week, are you dating anyone? I'm like, no, I don't have time.
I really believe the right person would come along. When you self-love and, you know, like you said, you don't need anyone. Not you don't need anyone. You don't want to depend on somebody for your own happiness, or to depend on somebody make you feel satisfied about your life. I think once you feel whole is more like an extra, right? So yes, you choose, not because you need, and this, and you don't want the same, you don't want the other person to feel like they need you to also choose you. And I think, yes, that's a better relationship.
And I feel like now I'm very lucky. I feel like now I'm at the point where I can kind of start getting that balance. Cause before it was just grind, grind, grind. I have no time for anyone. And now I'm at a point where, you know, I feel like I have some freedom.
What is your project right now? What are you working on right now? Since you have more free time now. So what is the project you're working on right now? What's your next project?
I am waiting on a movie. So I'll be in a movie. We'll see how it goes. It's going to be my first actual like movie. So we'll see how it goes. I'm still waiting on my schedule. So nothing's definite until I get my schedule and I'm actually filming it. But right now, that is on the list right now. But I'm still wrestling. So wrestling is always going to be a thing. Wrestling is my like bread and butter. But now with wrestling, I've been lucky to have built up a brand where I'm able to, you know, live off my brand, live off my merchandise, live off autograph signings and going to wrestle and all that.
Oh, talk about that. You guys should look at his social media, because it's like really cool poster.
But yeah, so basically I'm at a point where I don't have to go work another job just to pay for the job that I want to be at. I remember I used to have to work a job here just to spend money to go train at the gym so I could pursue my dreams. Now I am actually working in my dream job, and I make okay money. I'm not rich, but I make okay money where I can live all right and be able to do this full time.
She's not starving to death. That's, yes, what she's saying.
I'm not starving to death. So because of that, I feel like now I have more freedom. I can make my own schedule, because before I couldn't. I was on someone else's schedule. Now that I can make my own schedule, I can now have some time to like, all right, let me spend some me time. I'm going to have a day where I'm maybe going to go on a date or two, you know, like now I can think about these things. But if I didn't set up the foundation, then I wouldn't be able to be here and I would be unhappy with myself.
What would be your, if you can go back to the younger self of you, like I don't know when you, if you can go back when you were 13 or even 16, right? Because we're going into the puberty pains. What would you tell the younger self of you, like now looking back?
I would tell myself to not care so much about what other people think, because that held me back for so long. It held me back for years. I missed out on years of my life, literally. Like, I didn't start really chasing my dreams until I was like 21.
See, never too late.
Yeah, I actually started very late because I just believed everything that someone else said. And I cared so much about nobody's telling me, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that. So I, out of my own insecurity, I would never go for it. And when you never go for something, nothing ever happens. So it wasn't until I finally, you know, it was the jujitsu. Jujitsu changed my mentality and made me realize, okay, I can go chase my dreams now. And then I started actually working towards it. So I would definitely tell myself to not care so much. I literally just need to do what makes me happy.
Okay, everyone, remember that, please. If anything, this whole interview, remember what she was saying. Don't care about what people think. You know what? People always have their own opinion. So remember that. Wait, so what are you going to be doing when you're not fighting or training? Like, what do you do for fun? Besides hang out with me.
Yes. Hang out with you. And I mean, I honestly don't do a lot. Luckily, the stuff that I do for work is fun for me. Like, I love what I do, which includes like training at the gym, going to do photo shoots, doing video shoots, like doing interviews and whatever. Like, all this stuff is actually fun for me.
You know what? I agree with you on that. If you find your passion, work is almost like a play for you.
Yes, it's literally play for me.
Exactly.
And even though it's like work, it somehow is always fun for me. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go do a photo shoot, even though this photo shoot is for me to make my new poster and whatever else. I'm like, it's work technically, but I would be doing this for free if I, yeah, you know, anyways.
And then you can dress up and look pretty.
Exactly. It's like fun for me. So I really love what I do. But aside from, I guess the only thing that's not work related that I enjoy doing is like going to like culture festivals, food festivals, museums, like just random little events. I like doing stuff that is just, I more so care about who I spend my time with, because I'm at the point in my life now where I feel like quality time spent with the right people is more important than spending time with a bunch of people. I used to be like, I want a lot of friends. And I had a lot of friends at one point, but I realized they weren't really friends. They were just acquaintances. And I just don't have the time in my day for that. My time is very valuable. So I want to spend my time with people that I feel would make me happy mentally.
Oh, that's why you spend your time with me. Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to join me on this episode.
Yeah, I wouldn't be here if I didn't think so.
So thank you all for joining us today as well. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode with us, because I have so much fun interviewing her. Please take a moment to check out her social media handle. And like she was saying earlier, this really cool poster that she was signing autograph. And I seen a couple of those, very cute. I will put it in the description box for this episode so you can follow her social media. And stay tuned for my next episode, everyone. I'm your host, Evie Jane for Evie Unbounded. Please go ahead and follow me on Instagram at Evie Jane. And remember to subscribe, like, comment, and share.
You better do it, or else I'm gonna beat you up.
Yeah, exactly.